Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. So tonight I'd like to propose to you that the practice of Dhamma is one that has two dimensions, the dimension of depth and the dimension of breadth. And that through our lives as practices of the Dhamma, then there are times when we'll want to apply ourselves and be able to apply ourselves to one of these dimensions, a dimension of breadth or depth, and at times when we'll be able to devote ourselves to the other. Situations that will suit one or the other, and people, there'll be people who are good at one or the other. And yet I would suggest to you that a rounded practice, a complete practice, is one that has both of these dimensions to it. So I'll explain what I mean by these two then. A broad practice is a practice where somebody can be calm and see clearly through any kind of situation. This, you would say, is a very broad practice. A very deep practice is a practice where somebody has seen very deeply into the nature of things, seen in a different way, seen things in a different way, transformed their perception of the world through their practice. So typically the first one is often the way of a lay practitioner to lead a skillful life, to be positive in the present moment, live in the present moment, positive and skillful in all the circumstances, various wide circumstances that they find themselves in. A matter of staying in the present, staying positive, staying skillful. And often in monastic life can present these periods of time as well, this kind of practice to us as well, where we can find ourselves all kinds of situations, try and hold it together, different situations. So there's great strength can come from this, ability to ride along, bump along, and to be able to step back from our own state of mind, watch our own mind. Our mind's going a bit crazy around a certain situation, doesn't want to be there. And we can step back and still remain clear. So that observation, this kind of ability to just look on, is a very useful one, an essential one in broadening our practice through different situations, in non-reactivity. And yet there can be a lack of response. This is a kind of a passive state in some ways, passive observation of things. There's not necessarily anything in there that helps to show us where to go forward. So for this we're reliant upon a little depth of practice, our mind seeing the underlying dynamics of things, so as a source of wisdom in the mind in order to show us what to do. What's a skillful course of action in life? Sometimes deep practice can go very deep, and it can completely change our view of the world. So rather than just accepting the way things are, then we when we haven't really seen the way things are, if we just have breadth of practice, we may be able to accept the way things are, and yet we haven't really even seen the way things are. It's a person who has a little depth of practice who has seen the way things are. And it's a very much easier to accept. Because it's good news. I mean, the way things really are is very good news. Can liberate the mind. A lot of joy coming just from that, just from seeing the way things are, can be a source of joy in our minds. So if we don't try to deepen our practice when we can, see a little deeper into the nature of things, the nature of life, to the nature of our situation as human beings, then we miss out on this. Now, this is often in the formal meditation practice or the retreat situation that we have the opportunity to do this. We can do it completely independently of the first kind of practice. We can be living our lives as good Buddhists and accepting our lot. And working away for everybody's benefit. Whenever we can, then we can take a retreat, and then we can try to deepen this in order to see things in a different way, also to get a different source of pleasure in life. This can also be a very important aspect into spiritual life, is to find a source of pleasure within the spiritual life, keep us going. Meditation and insight, both incredibly pleasant things, coming out of the deepening of our practice. So perhaps useful for you to consider for yourself how, obviously, what situation you're in, also your personal character tendencies, what you're suited for, how to use a situation. So I can use this situation to broaden my practice, you can think, or I can use this situation to deepen my practice. This is a nice, quiet, peaceful situation, and I can maybe use this to deepen my practice a little. Or this is a very difficult situation, but I can use this to broaden my practice, develop steadiness of mind, non-reactivity of mind. So as a monastic, moving from one monastery to another, I often reflect on this. You go to one monastery and you're perfect for developing depth of practice, say, lots of time on your own and quiet and very good sila kept in the monastery, all these kinds of things, very conducive. You go to somewhere else that's very busy, a lot of duties, a lot of things going on. A lot of people in the monastery don't understand what's happening, this kind of thing, or going out on teaching engagements. All these things are an opportunity to try to broaden one's practice. To my mind, it's quite appropriate that a particular individual should then try to work to their strengths rather than try to tackle their weaknesses. And this is a principle overall that the Buddha suggests, that we principally work towards our strengths. So if you're somebody who's good at developing depth of practice, then this is what you should principally be doing. And this will be a lot of benefit to the group as a whole, because you can share your insights with them about the nature of reality, about the nature of the human condition, our existential condition, position in the world as human beings, which is not what it appears to be. at all. They're a very valuable kind of person to have around. You know, they're worth supporting, somebody who genuinely has this ability. And yet there's always, you know, we note that there are some people who they're off in their quiet cootie just to get away from everything, which is not necessarily using that opportunity to develop themselves, but just to escape from things. That's not so good. They're trying to escape from things that they don't like. But that might not be the case at all. Maybe applying themselves to the development of the depth of their practice, which is a benefit to everybody. Within a group, it's often very valuable to have different members who have different strengths. Have somebody who's a very broad practitioner, who's been in all kinds of different situations and ridden them out. Often good to have him in the front. The one who's good developed depth of practice, you get him to give the Dhamma talk. You get the one who developed the breadth of practice to be the leader of the group, or be the person who copes with the situation, so to speak. And then you get the person with the depth of practice, looking for one of them to give the Dhamma talk, which is what can happen in a good spiritual setup or monastery. And we all learn from each other, protect each other, help to protect each other. So perhaps we can see around each other as well. You know, often the very outgoing people tend to be people with good breadth of practice. Going out a lot, it means that they tend to develop this. The more inward-looking, quiet ones, the ones who develop the depth of practice, they need to be teased out, drawn out, as to what they know about the nature of the mind, or nature of the relationship between the body and mind.